Good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Thursday, 21st March 2024. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, Saddha, Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ Sammāsambuddho Bhagavān. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhayami. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammānamassami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkhasangho. Sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammāsambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammāsambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipatavirmanisikkhapadang samādhiyāmi. Ādinadanavirmanisikkhapadang samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu Musāvādavirmanisikkhapadang samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmirayamajāpamādhatāna. Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We'll continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Gandha sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana motamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin. Pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi butang kesumenanena Bụng nên na mật tê na chưa hổ thu mô khăn phụ văn mê la yà ti yà ta y đăng mê ca yô tà ta yà ti vina sa ba văn a di va se thu nô bàn tê pa ni yang pa ri ca pi tăng anu kham pang upadaya patikan atu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan atu mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and condition to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Triple Jeff. Vedam pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, before we start, I just would like to repeat this announcement. Like I mentioned last Tuesday, Padmasuri is going for a retreat in Taiwan. I think in 2 days' time, she will fly off and she will be there until 15 April and only come back. So our Thursday class from after today until 15 April will be cancelled. There will be no more Thursday class until she is back, then we see which day is suitable. And also for those Kayamita who are following us to Utaisan, the China trip in May, after 15 April, it will be very near already. Then those who are going, you have to sort out the payment with Mr. and Sister Padmasri who will assist him. So try not to like make the payment smooth and easier. Once you pay in the Mr. Er's account, please remember to WhatsApp Mr. Er and Padmasri so that she can help keep track. And remember to state your name so as they won't unnecessary mix-up. And they have problem not only dealing with your thing, they also have a lot of other things to attend to. So let us make things easier for people. Then we will not have all this unnecessary problem or situation that can actually develop into maybe situation that is not so conducive. Okay. Then after that, we will have our usual Tuesday and Sunday class. That one will be on. Okay, so that is the announcement. Then today, we will be continuing our share from Unique Code 110. It's on page 30. Just let me confirm. 110 is on page 31. Yeah. So this unique code is very special and useful. I read to you first so that you can develop the preparatory understanding before we start the discussion after the awareness-based meditation. It is the thought that fear. This is a very profound statement. Sankhara movement is a projection of the thought, born of self-delusion. And it is this deluded thought that conditions your fear. If you are just aware without the wrong thought, fear will cease. So you need to have this understanding. Well, this is a very important understanding. The thought is not you. The five aggregates of form and mind, they are not you. They have the unique characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So how they arise is dependent originating. So you need to understand all this through the awareness-based meditation to develop the understanding. How do you create thought? How does thought arise? So thought, like we all define, is mainly response to memory. Without memory, like a newborn baby, they cannot create thought. No way. Then how do we create the thought? Originally, we are the spacious awareness, our true mind, before the arising of thought or mundane mind. Then the awareness nature is the nature that every living being has. Then how do we know things? We need to perceive. We need to shrink the spacious awareness to a space where we want to perceive or develop understanding to live life, to cognize, to understand. So that space is no longer your spacious awareness. That space is limited. Then from that space, you perceive and input your content of consciousness. That's how it triggers off the thought. The content of consciousness initially is the perception, the aggregate of mind that perceive whatever that thing is. Then through memory, conditioning, belief system, you give concept, idea, and meaning to it. You label it. Then the other views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, including your habitual tendency, etc., will cause you to stir your mind and react to it. Then there is mental intention that goes in. Your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, then your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the underlying mental intention. That's how you create that thought. And that thought becomes moral and immoral. Kusala and akusala, citta. That citta is actually your thought. The five aggregate of form and mind. So all this, if you are aware, you can see they are arising and passing away. And all the movement within sankhara activity, you can be aware. That's how you come to understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And all this activity and movement, they arise because as a human being, we have a physical body with the senses. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. Then upon contact of the consciousness with the respective sense bases and their sense data, like the physics experiment, it triggers sense door consciousness. That's how you become conscious of things, conscious of life. That's how you know the world. That's how you interact with the world through senses. And all this movement and activity, they follow nature's law. They are dependent originating condition, and dependent originating condition arising causal phenomenon. Not what you think. Then all this, like the Buddha say, they have their universal characteristic. Because they are dependent originating, is definitely impermanent. We are dependent on condition they arise. How can they be a permanent unchanging entity that doesn't move, doesn't evolve? That's why the unique characteristics of impermanent or anicchang manifest straight away. Through awareness, you see all this arise and pass away dependent on causes and conditions behind. And they are all dependent originating phenomena. Condition arising, causal phenomena. Without cause, nothing arises. So all this understanding, you will develop them. And you can, through your awareness, actually awaken to it. So this is how you know the world, how you interact with the world, and how you function. So seeing all this is self-knowledge. This is what awareness-based meditation is all about. Develop the stability of awareness to silently observe and understand all this, then to insight into phenomena. Then you can see how all these movements affect the living being. Starting from yourself, your own form and mind. When you understand yourself, self-knowledge, you will understand others. Because the others, they are no different from you. They are also a form and mind, a living being. Then how do we develop difference of views, opinion, and identity? They come from the mind, the mundane mind that lack understanding. This mundane mind, before it has the Dhamma wisdom or understanding, it will perceive according to our memory, our views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. Then it will be caught and trapped at the form level. That's why we call it the form delusion. Form delusion. And through delusion, you create words, concept ideology to divide. That's why when division arises through the mundane mind's creation, duality arises, misunderstanding arises, all the war, conflict, they all arise. So having the awareness to be aware and awakened to all this is very important. Then after you can see form, then you will see the unreality of form, like what we have gone through in the early days when we share the Heart Sutta. So when you can see form and the unreality of form, then you can see beyond form. Your form is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of known, not what you think. And how do you know form? Through your perception. It is an image. So how real can it be? Externally, already not so real, dependent, originating, condition arising, phenomenon. Then how do you know that form? It's through your perception, a mental image. Externally, already not so real. And the way you come to know about it or perceive it is through your memory, through your thought process, through your mundane perception, or we call it the aggregate of mind that perceive. So perception is just a consciousness, an image inside your brain or inside your mind. So that one is even more unreal. Then why do you give meaning? Why do you cling, grasp, and hold to that image that comes and goes? To that form that is dependent, originating, not a permanent, unchanging entity. So see all this, understand all this. Then after that, you learn to see mind. Mind is more subtle. Then you must have stability or mindfulness to see mind. Otherwise, you cannot. Then mind, the movement, the activity, when you are aware, you can see it. They also have their characteristic activity of movement. Like we always say, the mind is not what you think. That mind is not you. But that mind is very powerful. Yeah? When mind arises, all things arise. And mind makes our day. So the Buddha's intent is to develop the awareness to see mind. Then to see the universal characteristic of mind, which means the unreality of mind. Mind also has its own, what they call, uniqueness. It's not what you think, not real. That's why when you can see form, the unreality of form, then you can see mind, the unreality of mind. Then you can see beyond form and beyond mind. That is the ultimate understanding. Then when you can see beyond the physical, our physical form, and beyond our mind, then we see our nature, which is identical. Then we can see things as they are. The direct see from the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. That's why our next half an hour, our awareness-based meditation is to train our mind to have the awareness nature, to see, to observe and understand all this. And this is precisely what awareness-based meditation or sati-based meditation is all about. Okay, so now you're off the line so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay, I think the instruction is enough. So remember the first three support, relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness. Then after that, for those who have developed the ability to stabilize the awareness nature, you can silence everything and stay at the heart to do the fourth support, which is trust. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that we have developed for as long as you can. And stabilize those mind states so that you can be ever mindful, leading to peacefulness. Okay. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atrangacantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkhamo Kadang Dhamma Sravanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sravanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sravanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ samma sambuddho vicca-caraṇa sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasāraṭi satta deva manussānaṃ Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Damo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditapo Vinuhiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaniyo anuttaram punyang ketang Lokasati sadhu. Okay. Now you all can be seated and maintain some more tension. Then we will continue from where we stop. We will be continuing our sharing from this. Unique Dhamma code straight from the heart. Yeah, at page 31, we will continue from that code 110. Okay, unique code 110. So the opening verse of this code is very important. It is the thought that fear. Sankara movement is a projection of thoughts born of self-delusion. And it is this deluded thought that conditions one's fear. But if you are aware without the wrong thought, then this fear will cease. So this statement is very powerful. Before I move on to continue to explain this unique code, what you need to understand is this word sankhara. Sankhara movement. So most Buddhists who have developed understanding of the basic teaching of Sakyamuni, maybe you can understand. But most cultivators who are non-Buddhist based, you may not understand what this word is. So I have to explain this one. So basically, sankhara is a Pali word. Yeah. This word denotes everything that our mind can do. That's why they have five English equivalent words to describe this Pali word. And this is one of our aggregates of mind. Sakyamuni Buddha, when he presented his teaching, his main focus is on the final summary of the first noble truth, where he explained how suffering comes to be, and also the realities of life and existence, the eight reality that conditions suffering when you don't have the understanding of the teaching. Out of the eight conditions or realities, the first seven is quite comprehensive. It covers most of the things that we encounter in life. That's why that first noble truth actually defines the reality of life and existence. Because these are the realities. And if you go through life, you will encounter these eight realities. The first seven can be understood quite easily, but the last one is the difficult. So the last one, the Buddha said, in short, he summarized the whole of the first noble truth, final summary. He said, in short, it is due to your sakyadity, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling onto your so-called five aggregates of form and mind that I call suffering or dukkha. So this five aggregates of form and mind is a definition put forward by Sakyamuni Buddha. He said, as a living being, especially a human being, we have a physical form, the physical body. And this is the form aggregate, is it? Then we have a mind trapped inside. So this mind, we need to understand what it is. So in order to let us understand, Sakyamuni Buddha actually subdivided it into four aggregates. We call it the aggregates of mind. So with one aggregate of form, the physical form, and the four aggregate of mind, that is how the five aggregates come about. And this is what you are. We are basically, as a human being, we have a physical body and a consciousness trapped inside, which is the mind. So these two are the entity. So if we subdivide them into the five aggregate, then this five aggregate of form and mind is what we are as a human being. Okay? So under the teaching, maybe I write it on the whiteboard easier to understand. So to simplify, I will just use the skeletal drawing. So this is basically what we call a human being. Huh? It can be a male or female, huh? Young, old, or whatever. So this one is the physical body, or we call it the physical form. Huh? So this is the formal aggregate. Then we have a mind trapped in something. We have a mind. Trapped inside. So this mind, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates. To understand these four aggregates, we have to ask ourselves, what can our mind do? So the first aggregate is your mind can feel. So there is a feeling aggregate. So this is Pali word Vedana. Then what else can your mind do? Your mind can also perceive. So this is the aggregate of perception. And this is how you come to cognize things or know things. So this perception in Pali is called Sanya. Then you have the third aggregate, which is what we discussed just now, Sankara. So Sankara is actually everything your mind can do, including feeling and perception. So this one, we need to define it. There are a lot of English equivalent words to define it. But basically, it's just whatever that your mind can do. So they use these few words. They say this is mental activity. Mental activities. Or mental states, your mental intention or volition or volition. Then they also have what we call mental formation. So they have 1, 2, 3, 4, one more. Mental activity, mental states, mental intention, mental formation, and any other word that they use. Mental activity, mental states, mental intention, mental volition, mental formation, and there is another one. I cannot recall. Never mind. So this one, actually, the last one we put as a draw. Because apart from what your mind can do, all this, you can still actually understand how the activity of mind can also trigger your mental deceitfulness. Deceit. So, then also your cunningness, then planning, scheming, etc. That's why I say everything that your mind can do, they are included under this Sankara. So Sankara actually is inclusive of feeling and perception, but the Buddha subdivided it such a way because he need to explain the importance of feeling and perception. Then the last one is the mind can become conscious. So this one is actually consciousness. Conscious, or in Pali is called Vijnanam. Oh, red color. So this one in Pali is called Vijnanam. I don't know, it's one end or two end. Eh? We just leave it. So this is how these four aggregate together with the form aggregate, we have the five aggregate. And this is what the human being is all about. So this is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. So first thing to understand mind is our mind can feel, our mind can cognize or perceive, then our mind can arise all the thinking, mental activity, mental states. Yeah, the fifth one should be thinking. Thinking consists about mental deceitfulness, cunningness, planning, scheming, etc. Then what else can our mind do? It can become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. That's how the four aggregates of mind define our mind. So these four aggregate plus the form aggregate, it becomes the five aggregate. And the first aspect is as a human being. The form is the physical body. But the Buddha, actually in his teaching, he realized our thought process, that itself, the mind itself, every moment we become conscious and form a thought, that citta, there is also the five aggregate inside there. So how did the form appear in the citta? That form is actually external form that you perceive through the mind, the sanya aggregate. So this sanya aggregate brings the four external form into the mind. So the four aggregates of mind plus the external form become the internal five aggregates. That is our thought. This is the second aspect of the five aggregate of forming mind. Okay? So understanding this, now we come back to the code, then you can develop clearer understanding. Why did I say it is the thought that fear? Because if you don't meditate with the awareness, you cannot understand who are you, what are you. And you cannot understand who are you, what are you. Then who fear? What fear? That is the inquiry that cultivator of the way will have to develop the understanding. If you don't inquire, you cannot find out. Why did I say it is the thought that fear? If you are aware, mindful, you can see all this within the content of consciousness. How did fear arise? Fear is dependent originating. If you don't have wrong thought, there is no fear. You don't have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Believing that you exist, there is no fear. So it is the five aggregate that fear through the thought. That's why I put here, Sankara movement is a projection of thought born of self-delusion. And it is this deluded thought that conditions your fear. If you are just aware without thought, fear will cease. All this you need to develop the awareness-based meditation to develop the understanding. Because if you are just aware before the thought arises or the knowing, that's why this awareness based meditation is for you to develop the inner awareness. When you are just aware without thought, before the arising of the thought, that is your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature. So with that, there is no word, no concept, nothing that is created by thought. Your thought cannot exist inside that. It is a nature before the arising of thought. Thought is a byproduct from that awareness nature. But the two are very near to each other. So because of that, you look at the four circle formation, then you will understand what I meant. For those who are new, maybe you need to bear with us a bit. Because this one are for people who have followed me for quite a while and developed the understanding that they will understand. So basically, every living being, how you arise is you have a nature which religious people give it different names. different religion. Some they say we came from the original nature. Original nature or the true nature. So this word original nature. Original nature. Then some call it the true nature or the oneness nature. Then some call it the source. Or maybe certain religion that believe in God or what, they call it, this is God or kingdom of God. We are God create. From here, it create. So, as far as the Buddha is concerned, he realized it through his awareness-based meditation. We are developing the wisdom of how this thing arise. That's why through that awakening, he realized from here, the source or the original nature, the first thing to manifest is the pure awareness. Or sometimes we call it the primordial nature. That is the first to manifest. And this one is our pure awareness nature. We are just aware here. That's why our awareness-based meditation is to realize this particular nature. Or we call it the PA nature, pure awareness nature. When we realize this, this one is just aware without thought. Then what happens is from here, it creates thinking, the thought process very fast. That's how from the pure awareness, thought arise and develop into this third circle, which is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. And this mundane mind is what we call the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. And through this, because we have our senses, we project into the physical world, the phenomenal world of consciousness. We are upon contact between the senses and the consciousness and the sense data, respective sense data. It triggers that respective consciousness. That's why we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So when you become conscious, this is where our spacious awareness from here, the pure nature, shrink into a thought. Then you input the content of consciousness and trigger it off into the phenomenal world of consciousness or existence, life, the conditioned world. So this is what I meant. It is your thought that fear. Because Sankara movement, all the mental activity, whatever that your mind can know. I read to you again, then you understand. Sankara movement is a projection of thought. The five aggregate form and born of self-delusion because you don't have the awakening, the Dhamma understanding. And it is this deluded thought that conditions your fear. So when you think and project into the future, what happens? You develop worry. And there is fear itself there. Anxiety. Although the future is not a reality, has yet to come. But your thought can project. Then when you have problems in life, you develop fear there. You develop worry, anxiety. And that arrives because of the egoic mind trapped inside. Born of scarcity, self-delusion. That's why the thought that is egoic doesn't have the Dhamma understanding. The form and mind is still a puttacara, not enlightened yet, not awakened yet. That's why through that, consciousness, it projects, and this is the one with the sakyadity or self-delusion that condition your fear. So this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, plus all the suffering and misery, they arise through ignorance, mainly due to self-delusion. Because when you have succeeded self-delusion, what happens is you believe this 5 year of form and mind, or what we call the human being, is real. I write down, huh? This one is the human being. So you believe this human being is what you are. You believe this is real. So what happened? You develop security or self-delusion. Means you identify this as what you are. So there is a personality already evolved or developed. So this personality is what we call the ego. The condition, the egoic mind. So when you believe you exist, this ego, which is the personality, yeah, will try to own things, have things, and control things. So what happened is, it will try to develop the greed, the possessiveness, the covetousness, the craving, the desire, the lust, to own things, to have things, and to go after things. Then when things don't go your way, you develop the evil root of hatred, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, dislike, negative emotions. Then when you don't understand what is going on, you trigger off doubt, fear, worry, anxiety. And that one is delusion. When you are deluded, not understanding that this human being is just a condition arising phenomenon. Not you, not a permanent unchanging entity. And this human being is dependent, originating, supported by condition. And it is evolving. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be. That's why they say you die. But the moment there are causes and conditions for you to arise through the karmic nature, you are born into this world. Then there are three things that sustain life as a human being. First, karmic nature condition the physical form and mind. Means initially it comes as a what they call matter. They call matter. Or the egg and the sperm, eh? Sperm and the ovum. So when these two come together, then it germinates and it starts from the single cell, it divides until it becomes a complicated organism with the senses all inside. Then it starts to grow into an embryo, then into a fetus. Then as a baby, it's born into the world. And this is how you arise. When you have a physical body, chemically conditioned out the DNA or coded, then you have a rebirth consciousness trapped inside. Yeah. So this one, together with the life force, will be the three conditions that will activate you and give you what they call human life. Like you exist. You become alive. So, supported by these three things, yeah? The physical body, that's why it must be in the sustainable condition to live life. Means all the organs are still working, functioning, not reaching critical shut off period. Then you have a consciousness right inside. Then you have the life force, or we call the karmic force, that pumps your heart to actually send all the blood to all your organs, to nourish them, to give them nutrients to the blood and all those things. So this is what basically the human is all about. But we deludedly believe this is real, a permanent unchanging entity. But we didn't realize that this one goes the way of nature, especially the physical body, because it is part of nature. That's why the Buddha, under the five daily contemplation, advises us to contemplate, to develop the wisdom, the basic wisdom of who you are. He said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. But this is not real, not you. This one go the way of nature. It is subject to nature's condition. That's why grow old, get sick and die. So when you understand this, then you realize this from my mind, the physical body that grows old, gets sick and die, is not you. Then why have you got to worry about you getting old, getting sick and die? Because this is just the form, dependent originating, condition arising, belongs to the world. So when you understand all this, you develop wisdom to transcend. Then similarly, the mind is the same. All this aggregate, feeling, perception, sankara activity or mental activity, mental states, everything, and the consciousness, they arise and they pass away. And you didn't die. So how can they be you? And they just arise and pass away based on causes and conditions. That's why this one is also dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. And it's not a permanent and changing entity where you can say, this feeling is me. You want to own it, have it. You cannot. Why? Because the moment this feeling, that is dependent on your thought process, change, let's say from pleasant feeling, you suddenly recall something very unhappy, then that feeling becomes negative, unhappy. Fear, worry, anxiety arise. Do you die? If the feeling is you, when pleasant feeling cease, another feeling arise, you should die. Eh? But how come you didn't die? Because this feeling is dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. Similarly, perception is the same. All your thought process, activity, the thinking, the emotion, the mental states, whatever you do, they are not real. They are dependent, originating, condition arising. Based on your memories, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, scars of memory, insecurity, and even your tradition, everything, they actually condition you to think in a particular way, especially based on your habitual tendency, your views, your opinion, conditioning and belief system. So all this condition the way you think and the way you react and stir. That's how from all this delusion, self-identity, especially self-delusion, you trigger off fear. That's why now you will understand why I say it is the thought that fear. Because without thought, like I say, you are that pure awareness, how can there be fear? Because here, no word, nothing, before the knowing, before the arising of the mundane mind. So when you stay here with the pure awareness, everything ceases. This is the third way to meditate, the Buddha said. Stay with your sati. Develop sati, stabilize it. Then when fear arises, be aware. Develop the ability to be aware, one with that fear. Then see how fear dissipates and disappears. Because fear, you will come to realize through your investigative awareness, they are dependent originating. Before fear arrived, there was no fear in it. How did fear arise? You realize as a human being, it's either you hear something you don't like or fearful that trigger the fear, or you see something that recall through memory, your phobia, your scars of memory, then that fear trigger. Or you recall through memory that phobia, scars of memory or whatever, that it trigger fear. So it is from one of your senses. When your senses accumulate all this psychological memory, which are the wrong thought, then when you recall or you see, you perceive, then it trigger off that fear. So these three doors, seeing, hearing, and thought, these three are very powerful. So when you trace the origination factor, then you realize it is through your wrong view, your delusion, your wrong thought. When you perceive things according to your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, and your accumulated memory and fear trigger off, set in motion all this activity that actually develops the fear. So when you see this, then you realize fear is dependent originating. So if I don't do anything, I stay here, this fear will dissipate. But this fear come into existence through your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, the memory, all your accumulated knowledge. Without that, you cannot think. You cannot move. That's why thought is respond to memory. And all these through awareness, mindfulness, you can see them. You can understand them. That's why I come up with this unique code so that as cultivator of the way, you can develop the understanding. Okay, now I read this code again. By now, I think all of you should already have the understanding. Okay, good. It is the thought that fear. So this one easy to understand. Sankara movement is the projection of thought born of self-delusion. Before you had the Dhamma, before you develop the awareness nature to awaken or to realize the truth, the Dhamma, then there is always this self-delusion or Sakkayaditti born of ignorance. So it is this deluded thought that condition you to fear through all your knowledge, your memory, your conditioning, your psychological memory. So all this trigger fear. So when you understand that, you only need to reverse it through retrospectively reversing it. Means why must you develop that wrong thought via the wrong view? You should learn how to see things as they are, as explained by the Buddha. Jnana-dāsana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. So how do you see things as they are? Means you see truth, you see the reality. You don't see based on what your memory tell you, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, and your belief system, accumulated knowledge. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Well, these are all rubbish, psychological rubbish. Without wisdom, they are all wrong thought, wrong memory. Yeah. So the user that doesn't have the Dhamma will actually create all the wrong thought. That the user of thought dictate how that thought should be. If the user is a puttujana, not enlightened, you don't expect that user to arise the right thought and the appropriate wholesome thought. It is near to impossible. It's always tainted with sakkayaditti, self-delusion. So when you understand this, then you ask yourself, why did I stir my mind and trigger off the fear? How did I accumulate all this phobia, insecurity, all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, the habitual tendency, the reactive mind that is always not at peace. That mind that create the stirring and the reaction to sense experience. How can I stop all this? So the hint from the teaching is, the Buddha say, develop the ability to see things as they are. As explained by the Buddha, thing is just the way it is. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise, but this is a reality. When the nature's law sets the condition, everything will flow according to this. That's why truth is, nature is, what is, the isness of things, suchness, ta-ta-ta. So when you understand that, then you can accept the reality for what it is, then you are at peace. When you are at peace, there is no fear, no panic, nothing. So develop this awareness to see things as they are means you develop the understanding. Thing is just the way it is. It has to be like that. Cannot be otherwise. Means the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Violent people do violent things. They are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. No need to react. No need to labor. No need to create all the duality. So remain at peace. We are developing the direct seeing to awaken, to see things as they are. So when you see things as they are with your pure awareness, then you can understand the movement, the dependent originating condition behind all activity. All phenomena within the conditioned world, the existential world, they are dependent originating condition, right? That's why we call it the conditioned world. That's why everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. There is no permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. That is delusion. So understanding all this via awareness, mindfulness is very important. So when you see all this, you will no longer be foolish. Then always remember, fear is not me. Understand now? If fear is me, when fear passes away, I die. How come I didn't die? Then what is fear? If fear is not me, definitely, when you are here with the pure awareness, there is no fear. Then who fear? Is this follower, understand now? The mundane mind. With the security, self-delusion, create the fear. Well, this is dependent originating. With wrong thought, wrong view, habitual tendency, everything that I explained, it triggers fear. So from here, this 5 degrees of form, the human being, through the thought, trigger fear. That's why it's the thought that fear. So if the thought that fear, and fear is not you, then why you worry about fear? Then you realize when you are not aware, not here, this one trigger of fear. Like that day, Jin Hao, I asked him to tell the mother, the thought is not her. She will awaken because she dare not go into those meditative state while at the retreat is because she know the mind will go in until very quiet. Then through the thought that refused to die will trigger the fear. What will happen if I go in and nobody to help me, then I die inside there. Because that is what the thought tell her, understand not? So when you tell her the thought is not her, she will awaken. Then she will not have any fear. She will just go in and develop the meditative thing and realize the true mind, the silent mind, the pure awareness nature. And then when she come out of it, she will understand what that thing is. Okay? So can I understand? Huh? Sadhu, you can rejoice.
Okay, before we continue with our second session, I need to remind Kayamita, like I announced yesterday, this book is ready, our latest book, the new book, Unique Dhamma Code, number 97 and 100. The title is Path to Nibbana, Awakening via Cessation of Form and Mind. So this book is based on the direct transcript from the recording of the Dhamma talk that I conducted, one of my Thursday class, dated 16 November 2023, also at this place, the way place that Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri has so generously and kindly developed, built, and offered for us to use. So we should all rejoice. So this book, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this book, make sure you get a copy and read it. You can either collect from Brother Teo or Padmasri when she come back from the retreat in Taiwan, or you can get it from me. Did Suyan have some? Oh, not yet. Oh, okay. Now, so you all either get it from my place or Padmasri's place, or you can ask some Kayamita to collect. Whenever they come for the Tuesday class or the Thursday class, they can collect, and you know them, you can actually get it from them. Okay. This is a very good book. It will give you a lot of very beautiful understanding of what the higher teaching is all about, the Supreme Vehicle teaching. It explains many aspects of the four circle formation teaching that I have taught you all. And it also explains very clearly how Nibbana can be realized and the process that is involved. How the cessation can take place, and how when you come out of the cessation, you develop all the understanding. Then how to develop awareness-based meditation, the instruction also very good. And all of the sharing from that unique, those two unique quotes are also very important. So all this, you can have them. It's just a thin book. I think only about 60 pages. But this is beautiful. So this one donated by Kayamita Funds. And you all can also rejoice with the wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.
It's in our website.
Also in our website already. If you want to read it first, you can go to the website and immediately download on Google. So that is the soft copy. You want a hard copy, you can have them. Okay, then we open up second session. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question or share any Dhamma, you can come in.
Yes, good. Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and
evening.
Hope you talking about the thought, maybe I can share.
Yes.
Brother Teo, remember last year I brought my cousin?
Yeah. I remember, yes.
Yeah. So she that time exactly 1 year ago. So she went through a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
And subsequently, because during the lockdown, I think the son passed away actually suddenly.
Yeah. Yes.
So after I brought her to Brother Teo's, to explain to her about Buddha Dharma.
Yeah.
So I think she suddenly realized, she has the understanding.
Oh, that's good, Sadhu.
Yeah. So from there, slowly, I think she's so much, she's very different now.
Yeah, much better already. Yeah.
Because of the thought,
And
she also realized that because of the thought that made her suffered.
Yeah, trapped her.
yeah.
Because so, when you grasp and cling to the thought become like real. Oh, and the thought can be very powerful. It's just like that lady,
Christina's friend. I forgot her name already. She actually joined us at our New Year lunch. And she had a condition to stand next to me together with Christina. And we actually discussed about how she is and why. Then I can see she actually transformed, become so beautiful and so full of joy and happiness. At that time when she came, she has two very major problems. The first one is regarding her own relationship problem. I think somehow the separation set in and she was affected after so many years of marriage. Couldn't take it. And that thought was so powerful, trigger of a lot of not only fear, a lot of sadness leading to depression and all things, you know, like she lost her life. So because of that, the children also affected, the parent, everybody who has a close relationship with her is affected. Then he decided to seek help from Christina. They were good friends. Then Christina said, "You better go and see my teacher, Brother Theo." So they came and we talked for a few hours. And that one really changed her, wake up and develop a lot of understanding. The second problem is with the sister or the mother's case. Both are very severe. Actually, trigger of a lot of intense suffering in the form of not only fear, a lot of negative emotion, and they call depressive thought, suicidal thought, great resentment, unhappiness, including hatred, because cannot come to terms with all this reality. And all this arise through what? Through Sankara movement, like I explained just now. It is the thought that fear, not you. So this Sankara movement, through its own Sakyati, the egoic mind, project into the conscious form and delude you to cling, to hold, and be afflicted by what it tells you. Yeah. It will tell you a long story. Yeah. Why are you so stupid? Yeah. Let your husband do all this to you. And a lot of story they will tell you, or they condition you to think, how can he be like that? You don't deserve all this. So all these are thought process, sankara activity. And they just arise and pass away. They come and they go. But if you have sakyati, self-delusion, it has power over you. And it can cause tremendous suffering and misery. So all this, after I explain from the Buddhist point of view regarding karma, then they start to understand. I say, this is all your karmic past. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. When the condition arise for you to become the victim, this is what will happen. So you cannot say it's unfair. You cannot blame anybody. Whatever happened, like the Buddha said, you have to come to terms with it. That this is the reality. Whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And the main one is karmic. Because the Buddha explained, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So what else can it be if it's not karma? Almost 99.999%. So when you understand this, you develop right view to accept the reality. Then when you accept means what? You no longer fear. You no longer blame. You no longer get angry and unhappy over what happened. That is how you develop acceptance. Acceptance via right view, to accept the reality of the moment. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are forces and conditions behind. If I know it's coming, so I accept. And with a clear mind, without stirring my mind, without projecting and developing all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, I have clarity. Then I contemplate what actually happened. How can I resolve this amicably? And that is the solution. Then you do what you have to do, like the Buddha said. These are nature's law. When you understand the Dhamma, then you know. If it's coming, I need to ask for forgiveness, to repent, I do. Then if I need to overcome all this karmic negativity, I vow not to repeat them. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to go and purify my mind. Avoid all evil, I keep precept based on what the Buddha has taught us. I develop awareness so that I can maintain my precept. Then cultivate wholesomeness means I develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path Factor, the teaching, to transform my speech, my action, and the way I arise my thought, so that it's accordant to the Dhamma way, following the understanding of all this right view that the Buddha has taught. Right view regards to law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth, the teaching. So all this is what you can do. Then when you start cultivating like that, you develop parami, or what we call merits, virtue, and wholesomeness. Then you can invoke all of your merits, parami, and wholesomeness for causes and conditions for you to have the good life, to recover to good mind state, to overcome all your mundane problem or affliction or suffering, to develop wisdom and understanding so that you can understand life, live life, and develop the peace, the joy, the happiness, and all this. And this is what the Dhamma way is. Very easy. And it can bring you out of suffering, liberate you. So because of that, they all start to develop faith to look into how the thought torment them and trigger all the wrong thought, which are fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, or intense negativity of mind state, suicidal thought, everything. So once you understand, slowly, slowly, you can come out of your depression. Your thought will have no more power over you. Then when you understand thought is not you, fear is not you, it is the thought that fear, then your problem gone is. So all this, you will develop profound understanding when you start to develop awareness-based meditate to realize it by being aware of that state when it arises. It can be your anger, your hatred, or your phobia, or your fear, or your insecurity, all the negative mind state. You silence your mind and stay with it. Then you realize it ceases. Means what? They are dependent originating. When condition is there, they arise. Then when condition ceases, it ceases. Why does it cease? Well, with awareness, it will cease. Awareness has no thought, no wrong view, no delusion, nothing. When you just aware, that thought will cease. Like Jay Krishnamurti explained, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. You just let it flower within your awareness nature. Then no more causes and conditions to support it. It ceases. Then you realize, hey, anger was not me. Fear was not me. They come and they go. I still around. Then all this straightening of you were actually free you, liberate you. Then later on you understand, if I don't think the wrong thought, I will be free. I won't be afflicted. means I have to have the Dhamma to accept all this that happened based on right view with regards to karma, especially the law of karma, the moral causation. Then from there, I free. So for Elsie's case, maybe you elaborate on how your niece, is it niece?
No, my cousin.
Ah, your cousin, yeah, your cousin. How your cousin actually, after coming to meet out with me, actually came out of it. It's very beautiful. Yeah, let pass back to you, Elsie. Yeah.
Yeah. At first, she got insomnia. She can't sleep every night.
Cannot sleep. Very common. All those that go through suffering, they are very depressed and they cannot sleep. Insomnia is a very common problem. Yeah. That's suicidal thought, everything. You continue, Elsie. Yes.
Yeah, not only that, depression, she got depression as well. And she takes some medication. And she always had the suicidal thought also. So after talking to Beritio, she came here, and then after she went back, she also started chanting, you know. She just
that
chanted.
One will help. That one will help, yes.
The day that she started chanting Amitabha, so that night already she can sleep well, you know. Sleep through.
Very good.
So she really transformed. And after her acceptance, I also sent her some video about all this Dharma teaching. So slowly she understand the right view, the law of karma, all
very
this.
Good.
So
very
she
good.
Because of her acceptance, lah.
Yeah, the acceptance will free them, liberate their mind. Because when you can come to terms with what happened, means the reality, means you have to accept your condition like that from the past, karmically, it has to happen. So no right, no wrong. That is the way it is. Thing is just the way it is. The acceptance actually is wisdom, and it will help the individual get out of it. But if you don't have the acceptance, the mind continue to think negatively. The hatred, the anger, the what, the feeling of being cheated, taken advantage of, then all of the wrong thought will trigger a lot of enmity and hatred, and even what they call depressive, suicidal thought. And sometimes it's so negative until it becomes like they want to take revenge, vengeance thought. They will come out with that type of hatred, that trigger of the intensity to take revenge. Then they will plan, they will scheme, then they will use the word. Last time is honey, happy or whatever. Now is that bastard. I remember him. No, I will not let him off. So all this is how your mind, through anger, hatred, and delusion, plan and scheme in the name of what? Revenge. That's why the Sankara movement is held or toxic. The word is toxic. You know what toxic can kill you. That's why it's also called the evil root, the three poison. So spiritually, they can kill you. You don't have spiritual life. Like the Buddha said, the heedless eye as if dead. That's why you must develop heedfulness, mindfulness, to be aware, to understand all this, and to liberate and stand above them, so that you can develop the wisdom to free, to have the good life. Why must there be suffering? Why must there be affliction? Why must there be fear, worry, anxiety? Life is so beautiful, meaningful, wonderful. Why can't you live life through understanding? The teaching is there. The Dhamma is there. So all these are very useful understanding, very beautiful understanding that can help humanity, living beings, because they lack this Dhamma understanding. That's why they suffer so much. The whole world, the whole planet is full of living beings that don't have the Dhamma, that have to go through all this suffering when they encounter the first noble truth realities of life and existence. And not many people can cope. Okay, good. Elsie, continue here. Yeah.
Yeah, she even read through the book that you gave her, the Ancient Path.
So that one very useful, yeah.
And inside with novel Eightfold Path, so she
yes.
And she slowly to understand, you know, all this Dhamma teaching, slowly open her up, and then slowly transform her until today.
Yeah. So wow, very good. Sadhu, rejoice it.
She's so different now. Not only that, she even her health also improved.
Improved, yeah, definitely. It's the same for Alicia last time.
Very the similar great, to Alicia.
The great transformation happened within 3 months after coming to the Tuesday class, after chasing after Suihan for the recording. That's how all this can really be amazing when you witness people coming out of it through having faith and attentively listen and develop the understanding. All this become possible. This is what Dhamma is. It's a living Dhamma. Can free the living being. It can awaken the living being also, not only free. So normally the first stage is to bring about liberation from suffering, freedom. Then after that, it will spur them to develop the faith, to cultivate, to develop the true awakening wisdom. Yeah. So the first stage to develop the understanding to free from suffering is easier. Yeah. Then after that, when you go into the real cultivation, is to develop the wisdom to transcend birth and death, to transcend life. So that one you need to develop mindfulness or heedfulness. And you need to have the faith, sincerity, and diligently cultivate. And you have the causes and conditions to go the Bodhisattva way. It's even more beautiful. More meaningful. Very good. Elsie, continue. Yeah. Anything else?
So she last year she went for medical checkup. So she, the ultrasound. So they see something in her liver.
Oh, okay.
Something in her liver. So every 6 months she has to go back for a checkup. So this year when she check up, when she go back for the ultrasound, she said the doctor cannot find anything in the liver.
Then wow, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu. That is how amazing Dhamma can actually do to a person. When you don't have all the fear, worry, anxiety, which are very toxic or negative energy field, your cells actually recover. And you develop healthy, normal cell, then you can bring about better health. And all those all these are how the immune system actually strengthened. When you have a lot of negative thoughts, depressive thoughts, suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, so these are negative mindset, negative energy field. And they can actually cause your cells to mutate and develop into what we call disease, especially cancer and other things. So this is how you actually, without you knowing it, entangle yourself and trigger all this negative feeling and emotion and thought process that cause the mutation of your cell that lowers the immune system and trigger all this disease, suffering, and misery, especially those very traumatic type of disease like liver cancer and all those things. So that cousin of yours is a good example, actually, for people to develop faith in the Dhamma. It's your mind state. Mainly one's mind state, when you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, especially Amitabha Buddha after he starts chanting, then when she has the understanding, the joy to actually come out of all this. Like you say, the first night, already the insomnia gone, can sleep well. In fact, many cancer patients or people with problems, they came and see after I talked to them. The feedback is always that night they got good sleep. Really, there was one lady, cancer patient, that's like a long time ago, also same thing, full of fear until cannot sleep. But that night, after I went to the house with a Kayamita, who is a close friend of her, then we start just talking on it. After about 3 hours, I went at 9 o'clock, I left about midnight. Then the next morning, she called up the friend, the Kayamita, and tell her, thank you so much. He said that it was the first night in so many weeks that I have a good sleep in it. Oh. Then all this become like possible. Then she recovered. She recovered. And after 9 months, she almost fully recovered. Then after that, she came and learned the Dhamma, the meditation. Then after a year plus or one, I think she became complacent. She decided to go out and work again. That's how the relapse came later on. Because at her age, the working environments, stress and all those things, actually it's not easy to cope. Because at that time it was so stressful until she developed phobia, fear, all those things from the boss, the MD. Then what happened was after all this trigger, the immune system went down, she developed breast cancer. And the doctor that actually advised the operation and the chemo also didn't really explain to her what she is going through and all those things, until there are a lot of funny things happening in the hospital, until she yelled, she saw those non-human, or people thought she cuckoo already out of her mind. That's how the good friend was called up, and the good friend said, you wait, and he said, I try to ask my teacher brother to come and see you, see what can be done. That's how it happened. Then I told her if she wants to see me, provided she wants, means for affinity, then I will go. Otherwise, just let things be. I said, oh, and she really wants. That's how I went. Then the rest is history. Yeah? I have spoken this before. We cut short because not much time left. Eh? Okay, I'll see you continue.
She in between she cut actually she cut down her anxiety pills also.
Yeah. Like Alicia's and, case, finally and can just drop it, the medication. And many Kayamita who came to me finally no need medication. They can sleep well. There was one. He said, I slept so much better than last time, he said. No need the sleeping pill, everything, is it? Now I want to sleep, I just sleep. Very good. Yeah, I'll say
Sadhu. Initial stage, she cut her sleeping pill totally, you know. Then subsequently, she cut down her anxiety pill and depression
correct,
as well.
Correct.
So now she really very very happy person.
Sadhu, very good. Nice to hear that. Rejoice.
Last time she always in a bad mood. she didn't even talk to, she didn't even, didn't want to talk to the husband, you know.
Yeah.
Because
that
of
one is very typical of depressed.
Well, when she was in the
person, because they try to keep to themselves, they isolate themselves, they don't want to talk to even their spouse or whatever, because when they go through depression, they go through this what they call suffering. Most of them are like that. You cannot blame them, and they actually deep inside want somebody to talk to, and they want to find answer, solution, but nobody can help them. And that is where the unhappiness will grow and become intensified. So what happened to that lady just now I told you that recovered from the breast cancer? She told me when I visited her that time, he said the hospital incident or person. Then I explained to her what she actually saw. I said, this is not hallucination. This one is something that you will see when you are in that state of mind. I said, wow, then she was full of joy. You know? Then after that, I explained to him. He said, I said, are you a Buddhist? He said, sort of lah. Yeah, the mother go to temple. Oh, I said, once a year Buddhist. Okay, can. I said, we're Chinese. So I explained about the Buddhist teaching, the Four Noble Truths, and the law of karma and all those things. Then I said, all this, when you understand, you can reverse it. Yeah. Oh, she was full of joy. You know what she told me? He said, he actually looked at me, you know, then he asked the friend, the Kaimita, who is Brother Teo? Is he a psychiatrist or a doctor? Then my Kaimita replied, he's a civil engineer. Huh? Civil engineer, he know all this. Yeah, he teach Dhamma. Then after that, he said, for the first time in her life, she want to understand what is she going through. That trigger of all this suffering and misery. I say it's because of your fear, your intense phobia. Where he explained to me the work environment. He said when the phone call from the secretary office of the MD, cold fear goes through her body. I said this is intense negative energy that will lower your immune system, that cause your immunity to suffer, then it trigger of disease, all those things. So I say you can reverse all this by developing the positive energy, metta, radiate love to yourself, so that you have positive, what they call regenerating, loving kindness energy that you can send to your own bodily self. Then 80% of your body is water. You have right thought, beautiful thought, they will recuperate, they will recover. Then she's so happy. He say, you wait. They call the husband down. Tell the husband, you don't believe what happened. You listen to Brother Tio. He said, this one really can happen. Then after that, the husband also listened. Then he told the husband and me, I said, when I was in the hospital, I was in such a terrible emotional, depressive state because all my friends and my relative or whoever close to her came and visit her. You know what they told her? No? Christian will tell her, you come to my church. My God will help you and all those things. Then the Buddhist one will come and say, you chant Namo Kwan Sing Fusa. You chant Amitabha Buddha and all those things. Then all the various type of friend with the religious ideology one would tell her something until she really like feel like please no more of all this. He want to like ask them not to continue. That's why she cannot take it and she freaked out in the hospital until the doctor tell the husband you better bring your wife back until she is more stable, then bring her back. before they do the operation and all that. So this is what will happen. So very true, Elsie. What your friend go through, sorry, your cousin go through, is really beautiful sharing that can give
Yeah,
faith to a lot of people.
It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's
She's
really
very
amazing.
grateful to you. She's very grateful to you, Brother Tio, after talking to you. You remember she
Yeah,
felt so comfortable, you know.
correct. She felt good, I remember.
Yeah.
That's why I know she will recover. So luckily you share all this with us tonight, Sadhu. I'll see.
Sadhu, to your compassion, Brother Tio. Hope more people will receive this Dharma.
Yeah, if they have the affinity, they will be able to. No problem, Sadhu.
This is about my sharing.
Good, Sadhu. So let us rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Chinong, you use the tissue, it will go up the tissue. No, no, tissue. Tissue more important. Don't use the currency. Use the tissue. There is a millipede, centipede or millipede, small one. It's in your house, Pharmacy. You can show it to Pharmacy. Then I put in the dustbin and dispose it all. Okay, who else wants to come in? Another 3 minutes only. Anybody? Short one? Chinhong, anybody? Short one? Don't have. Then we end. Any of you all here want to share anything? Summarize anything? Don't have. Okay, then we rejoice and we end. Akasata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva ciram rakkhantu lokasasana etavata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha pito bhava tu loko cha Raja bawa tu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.